So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And our thanks again to Doug Gottlieb, who just joined us in our last segment. Adam was his producer for many years for his national radio show, and Doug admitted at the end that you guys clashed a bit, especially on topic selection. Interesting.
I mean, that was when we clashed. I mean, yeah, you know, that's what we're doing, right? We're figuring out what to talk about on a radio show, and I think we should be talking about this, and he thinks we should be talking about that, and so, you know.
All right, be honest.
Like you and Woods clash, I'm sure, on that stuff.
We never clash. We are always in perfect agreement. Be honest, who is a more difficult host to work with? Doug Gottlieb or Stephen Woods?
Is that a real question?
I'm just curious. I mean, Doug admitted, he said, I'm an a-hole sometimes. I bet Woods would probably admit that as well.
Sometimes is less than
all.
I didn't finish that sentence.
It's funny because Woods gives you such a hard time. Like a legitimate hard time.
I love Woodsy
so much,
by the way.
I know people, there is an element of teasing, and he wouldn't do it if he didn't like you so much. But it's real. He really gives you a hard time on things because he's passionate about this job. And I think one of the things you love about him is how passionate he is. But I can speak very confidently for both him and me when I say you are a fantastic boss.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you. And I appreciate you being here for the rest of the program today. I also appreciate the Klug report we're about to get. First, though, it is time to announce today's biggest fan. If you hear your name called, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 and qualify for our grand prize. It is a huge night in the Odyssey Suite for a Padres game. 20 tickets for you and your friends, catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine sometime this season. All you have to do to sign up is register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. But today's first biggest fan at 9 a.m. is Nathan Russell from Oceanside. Nathan Russell, you are on the clock. You got 10 minutes to call us at 833-288-0973. Get your name into our grand prize drawing. Now, without any further ado, let's get some headlines from Adam in today's Klug Report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the
Klug Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the
Klug
Report.
Right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed. It's the
Klug
Report on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Let's bless the Klug. Adam, take it away.
Thank you, Ben. So we've got the college football playoff resuming tonight.
We do.
Miami versus Ole Miss, the team that knocked out the Georgia Bulldogs.
So are you one of those fans who is like, I want the team that beat my team to go down in flames? Or are you one of those fans who are like, if my team's going to lose, I want them to lose to the national champion, and it shows better for my team, so then you cheer for that team going forward?
Can I say neither?
Neither. You want neither to happen.
Georgia lost. It doesn't make me feel any better that they lost to the eventual champion or the runner.
You also beat Ole Miss in the regular season.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I still have interest in the games, as we've talked about last segment with Doug. I'm a huge sports fan, so I will be watching.
Do you know what I heard? I heard Jesse Agler was going to be at the game tonight.
Really?
Did you hear that? Yes.
Well, I tinkered with the idea. The game's in Tempe, right?
It is, yes. It is the Fiesta Bowl.
So you know, I got a little.
Heck, I could go to the game tonight if I really put my mind to
maybe,
it.
Maybe Woodsy. Maybe this is why you got Woods and Paul really left early.
That's
right?
They
left
early to go. They're going to the I'd be so mad if they went to the Fiesta Bowl without me.
I tinkered with the idea when I got ahead of myself. Like, well, you know, if Georgia wins and they'll be playing,
I didn't even think about that.
5.5 hour drive.
Same town as that game tonight. I mean, we're gonna be like 2 minutes away because they play it at State Farm Stadium, right? I'm going to be like 2 minutes away from
biggest
the Fiesta
sporting
Bowl
event
tonight.
In the country tonight will be right where you guys
right
are.
Right where we're staying. Like, right there. Crazy.
Well, one of the big storylines everybody's going to be watching, obviously, we were all consumed by the whole Lane Kiffin drama and Ole Miss borrowing some of LSU's coaches to coach last round. A couple of the coaches Lane Kiffin brought back, right? He's like, you guys are not going to be coaching in the Fiesta Bowl. And their current head coach for Ole Miss, his name is Pete Golding. He was asked at his press conference yesterday if he has a message for Lane Kiffin.
Our team had a message. They had a message about how they prepared and how they play and that they weren't tired of playing. And I do think the message is I'm replaceable, you're replaceable, our players are replaceable. Right? I think you want to build a program to where it's heading in the right direction, and one person, one player, or anything like that's not going to derail that. There's been too much invested in that, and it's been aligned correctly that one person is not going to impact something so drastically. If it is, it's probably not built right. The only thing that was different, who's running out of the tunnel. And to be honest with you, I don't think the players give a damn who runs out of the tunnel. Right, does it make sense? They care about their plan. They care about getting held accountable, right, and how they're going to prepare. And they care about people that care about them, right? And I think that's been the message our players have created. But I don't have to say to anybody else.
Now, I'll be honest. I did not really hear a word he said. Did he dye his hair blonde this week?
Is that dyed or is that how it always looks?
I don't know. He kind of had gray hair. He usually wears one of those visors.
Right.
And so I've only seen him kind of on the sidelines with the Ole Miss visor. And he had like the silver hair coming out. But in that clip, it looked like he went and you know, put a little like gold highlights in his hair.
Sure looked like it.
Didn't it though? I thought so. I mean, you know.
He doesn't have S to say to Lane Kiffin.
I mean, he's only 41, so if he wants to, you know, go back to a better, you know, hair color for a big game on national television tonight when everyone's going to see him, you know, that's okay. He's doing a great job. I mean, considering the situation he was thrown into, Pete Golding's done a fantastic job for Ole Miss.
It looks like Ole Miss made the right decision making him not just the interim coach. They named him the full-time
permanent
head coach.
Yeah, they named him the whole coach, and I bet they're very happy so far. Win or lose tonight, and I have Miami going on tonight. I think the physicality of the Hurricanes that we saw in that game against Ohio State, one of the most impressive things I've seen all season. You take Ohio State and you just manhandle them then in the fourth quarter. If they can bring that same intensity to this game, Miami's going to win, and they're going to play for the national championship against either Indiana or Oregon.
Let's move on to the world of college basketball, where Arizona State got smacked by BYU last night. BYU is ranked number 9 in the country, and they whooped Arizona State by 28 points. And BYU has some sort of promotion in the arena where if something specific happens, everyone in the arena gets Chick-fil-A. And after losing, Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley, straight-faced in his opening monologue, said what he was pleased about from his team.
Can hang our hat on leaving here tonight is that I think we did stop Chick-fil-A for the students. If I'm not mistaken, I think we were able to get that done tonight. So, you know, that's wonderful.
Take a couple questions.
A couple questions from the media. Like, he seriously is in there going, well, we stopped them from getting Chick-fil-A.
What do they have to do? Win by 30 to get Chick-fil-A? What kind of a promotion is that? They destroyed Arizona State, correct?
Yeah, 28 points. I did some searching. I couldn't find anything kind of outlining what the rules are for the promotion.
They scored 100, so it was like score 100, get Chick-fil-A. They scored 104. They won by 28. How well does BYU need to play for their students to get Chick-fil-A? I mean, you can't do much better than that. A 28-point win over a conference opponent, that's as good as it's going to get.
Sounds like we got to do some investigating here. And then finally, Ben, this story captivated me, and this is going to be a little bit more for the YouTube audience. So I'll need you to do a little play-by-play for me here. Tennis play-by-play.
Tennis.
There's a very low-level professional tournament in Nairobi, and a woman named Hahar Abdelkader.
Okay.
Entered this tournament, and somehow, some way, she won 3 points. And if you watch her play, you will think she has never played tennis before in her entire life.
This is a professional tournament. She does look like she's there for her first lesson. She's tossing her serve up and can't even make solid contact with the ball. And this is an actual professional tournament. Her opponent seems completely disinterested. Like this, she doesn't want to use her backhand. She's trying to run everything to the floor. It literally looks like a woman taking her first tennis lesson at the local YMCA or something.
We'll tweet this out from 97.3 The Fan's account. So you can see it.
But she did win 3 points.
She somehow won three points.
Were they all double faults? Maybe by the when you know she couldn't get the serve in on the other side for some reason.
That had to be it. I mean, I just. It's the most amazing video ever.
It looked like a clay court event. Like, I mean, it's like real tennis there. But now she is. She's not good.
And when she finally served one into the legal square, her opponent just rips it right past her in the return.
Who was that? Remember that Australian dance, the dance performance that she did?
The break dancing
in the Olympics. Yeah. Think of the tennis version of that is what you just showed us on our YouTube stream. One of these things doesn't look like the rest of the professionals in their sport.
Right.
All right. Good job on the Klug Report. We got more football talk coming up. Our football threesome, it is Thursday, and the season continues. We'll go through the postseason games. NFL, we got 5 playoff games, and I'm going to make, I think, a shockingly bold prediction in our football threesome coming up in our next segment. We'll get to all of that coming up after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Again, we've got college football tonight in Arizona. It is Ole Miss against Miami. And then tomorrow is the Oregon-Indiana game. And then we'll have our national championship next week. But we also have 5 professional football wildcard playoff matchups. No, 6 professional football wildcard playoff matchups. Got to forget they added that 7th playoff team in each conference. And we're going to take a look at all the weekend's matchups in today's NFL threesome.
Can Ben and Woods interest you in a threesome?
A threesome would be fun.
Oh, not that kind of threesome.
Talk dirty to me.
We're talking end-arounds, the best tight ends in the world, and going all the way in this game of inches.
2 inches short, maybe less. Story of my life.
It's the NFL Threesome with Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place, on 97.3 The Fan.
Personal file, 69. Offense is giving them the business.
Now, normally we start the threesome with a look at the Thursday night game, but there's no Thursday night playoff game. Now, are we carrying, Adam, any of these NFL playoff games over the weekend?
We are carrying 5 of the 6 games.
5 of the 6
games.
The one
game we are not carrying will be at the same time as UCSD hoops, so we're going to be carrying the basketball game.
So we'll miss the Green Bay-Chicago game
on Saturday
night. Otherwise, we will have Rams-Panthers for you, 1:30 on Saturday afternoon from Bank of America Stadium. We'll have a triple header for you on Sunday starting at 10 a.m. Buffalo Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars, followed by the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Philadelphia Eagles, and wrapping up with the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the New England Patriots. And then we'll have Monday night playoff football for you on Monday at 5:15 with the Houston Texans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, of all those six, stage two of the football threesome is which matchup, Adam, do you think is the most intriguing of Wild Card Weekend?
I hate to say it, but the one we aren't carrying. I like Packers-Bears.
Okay, yeah, that's a good call. Divisional rivalry. Right. I think the Chicago
Packers
story.
Packers have owned the Bears for a long time.
Caleb Williams in this story is very interesting. What did I see? Like the last time that Chicago beat Green Bay in a playoff game or something was like the 30s. I don't know. It's been a long time. But they certainly have the opportunity to do so. But odds makers actually have Green Bay as the underdog in this game, or as the favorite in this game, 1.5 points.
On the road.
On the road at Soldier Field. I think.
But by your reaction, I don't think you think that that's the most interesting
game. That's not my pick.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
49ers-Eagles?
No, because I don't know that the 49ers are necessarily... Well, I don't think either of those teams are going to be your Super Bowl winner. I think Buffalo-Jacksonville is actually the most intriguing game of the six. Josh Allen makes any game, I think, watchable when he's part of it. But Buffalo can't stop anybody. And Trevor Lawrence and the Jags have been playing sneakily probably the best football of just about anybody over the last month and a half of the season. I think this could be a very high-scoring game. This is the one that I think could be like the 41-38 type game.
The over-under is 51.5.
Yeah, I think this is it the high. Yeah, it's the highest over-under of the weekend. So in terms of entertainment value, it comes Sunday morning, which is usually like not the prime window for the weekend playoff games. But that's the one that I think is probably the most intriguing. You can make the argument for Chargers-Patriots, though. That's certainly an intriguing game. That's why they probably chose it for Sunday Night Football. But I told you that I was going to make a bold, unexpected prediction. And we always pick one game against the spread. But I'm going to go beyond that. I'll let you pick your one game. But here's my bold prediction for Wild Card Weekend. I'm going to take every underdog to either cover or win outright this week.
I was going to make a comment that there are four road favorites. So you got four home dogs.
I know. And I love taking
the points too.
I love home dogs. So you've got Carolina is obviously they're not as good as the Rams, but the Rams have not been perfect this last month. And it's a 10.5 point spread.
And the spread has moved. It was 10 and people were still taking the Rams and now it's 10.5.
I'll take all those points and, you know, Rams probably win, but I'll give Carolina at home a chance to at least hang with them.
I agree.
I like Chicago at home to win outright against Green Bay, even though they're the underdogs on Saturday night. Buffalo, I don't know why they're the favorites in that game. That's Josh Allen and Josh Allen alone. Jacksonville's the better team. They're the better all-around team. And Trevor Lawrence has been playing pretty much as good as Josh Allen late in the season. I don't know why they're underdogs. I got Jacksonville winning outright in that one. San Francisco is getting 4.5 with that field goal difference. I can see that being a close game. That's probably the least confident one I am about the underdog, but they can definitely keep it close. New England is 3.5 point favorites, but the Chargers, honestly, I think with Justin Herbert, can absolutely keep that game close. I expect it, so I'll take that hook, that 3.5. And then finally, Pittsburgh at home getting 3. Monday Night Football at home, Mike Tomlin never loses. And Houston is the better team, but Pittsburgh absolutely can win that one at home. So give me every single underdog either to cover or win. I wonder if that's ever happened in the first round of the NFL playoffs.
And what does your weekend look like? How much of these games will you sit around and watch?
That's interesting. I'm going to play a little golf when I'm out there because they're going to be playing baseball. But I'll definitely watch the evening games both of those days and probably the afternoon game on Sunday as well. So, yeah, the only one I probably will miss will be Buffalo-Jacksonville, the one that I think is going to be really good. But you know what? You get a golf cart, you put your phone on, you can kind of watch it as you're playing anyway.
But is this a situation where, like, you, Paul, and Woods will go to a sports bar, go to dinner, get some food, get some drinks, watch some football? Or I don't know that I picture those guys like that.
So their event schedule is pretty packed. You know, they have like dinners with their teams and their coaches and stuff. I go to some of those, but I'm also going to hang out. My buddy Scott's going to come down on the weekend. We're going to play a little golf, so we'll probably go out and eat and watch some of the games on our own. But at the same time, you know, they have TVs at the Peoria Sports Complex as well. They'll have those on to the games. I mean, everyone wants to watch football when it's on, so everyone will get to see these games, and I will definitely watch probably the majority of the football that's played all weekend long. We're certainly planning to watch tonight, dinner, watch the game, Miami and Ole Miss, and then tomorrow probably the same thing at the end of the day. So, yeah, there'll be plenty of football watching. Who's your pick, though? You got your one pick, your most confident against the spread selection?
My most confident against the spread? I'll take the Jaguars. Give me a point and a half at home. I convinced
you. I convinced you. I
was already there.
Jacksonville's the outright better team. You agree?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
No one gives Jacksonville any credit because, well, but Jacksonville.
Right. So but we both think the Bills are going to win after we both said what we said, right?
That wouldn't be shocking. Yeah. Not like I'm always right or even often right on these predictions, but I certainly, my logic, I feel, is sound when it comes to all these picks this weekend. And that is our football threesome on a Thursday. All right, when we come back, we will wrap things up. I want to get into some of the Padres offseason talk, but it's nice to have a different voice to bounce things off with some of the moves that the Padres have or could still be making this offseason. So Adam and I can share thoughts on the San Diego Padres and what's coming up next for your team. And we can look ahead to, we got Fan Fest coming up and everything still this month. So it's a big month for the San Diego Padres. Get to all that next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Alan Woods are on their way to Arizona. I will be joining them after the show. We will be live from Padres Fantasy Camp starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. Four shows. With all the your favorites, the only person we're going to miss so badly is Randy Jones, the commissioner. Not going to be there, but will certainly be in all of our hearts this year when we're out there. It won't quite be the same without him. He has been a fixture at every single fantasy camp, just always making you laugh.
Shout out to his family.
Just can't think about Randy, not smile in my heart. One of my favorite people, and he will be very missed. So today, if you're Padres fans and you're dying for a little off-season news, I will predict that you will see a flurry of contract signings by the San Diego Padres today. But there is a catch. It's a little bit of a wordplay by me, because today is the arbitration deadline for Major League Baseball. I think it's officially at 1 p.m., although you can kind of dot the I's and cross the T's up until 8 p.m., but if you don't sign your arbitration-eligible players by this afternoon, then you have to exchange salary numbers for a potential arbitration hearing. Now, A.J. Preller famously has never once gone to an arbitration hearing with one of his players in his now decade-plus as general manager of the San Diego Padres. Track record is there. So I would expect most of these contracts to get done today. Although, last year, Michael King's did not get done before the deadline. They did exchange numbers before, if you'll remember, agreeing to that very creative contract that ended up being like $1 million plus a $3 million bonus plus a $4 million buyout rather than the $8 million that he was looking for straight up in arbitration. But here are the names, Adam. Luis Camposano is the only one who's signed already. They've all been offered arbitration, which means they're locked in to a one-year deal with the Padres at minimum, but Luis Camposano is the only one who's actually signed his $1 million deal. The other players who are arbitration eligible are Jason Adam, Gavin Sheets, Adrian Morejon, J.P. Sears, Mason Miller, who's one of the Super 2 guys, he gets early arbitration because of how much success he's had early in his career, and Freddie Fermin. So some pretty important players there. I mean, honestly, all six of those guys could be absolute critical members of the San Diego Padres in 2026, and they will be on the team. The question is simply how much they're going to get paid and whether those deals will get done today or whether they will have to exchange those salary figures and then have an arbitration date set for sometime in February, usually middle of the month, where you'll have that kind of next deadline looming before you actually have to go into a room and argue with their agent and your, you know, your GM or assistant GM goes in and makes the case for the salary for 2026.
The case for Jason Adam and his contract status with the Padres is super interesting, if you ask me, because obviously extremely productive when he was on the field, but suffered an injury last year that, I mean, look, they have more information than we do in terms of when they think he'll be back, but it is somewhat unclear as to when he'll be able to be on the field. But I also know he's very highly thought of, and he's a great team guy. I've been at a bunch of the off-season events, whether it's at the their holiday giving tour. Jason Adam is always there. He was at Craig Stammen's introductory press conference. He was at Michael King's press conference when he re-signed. He is a team guy and thought very highly of.
So he's actually projected. I've got the projection numbers for what experts think each guy is going to sign for or around, and he's actually the highest number of all those Padres. You go, wait, Mason Miller's way better.
But again, it's projected by the experts versus what the team is willing to pay based on when he can get on the field, because we're only dealing in a one-year sample here.
See, now you can't really, I know logically you think, well, he's probably going to miss a month or two, so you're going to pay him less. Not really how it works, because the arbitration projections are not what you think he's going to do. You're getting paid on what you have done already as a pro. And Jason Adam has been an all-star. He has been a back-of-the-bullpen reliever. And he's going to get paid like that, whether or not he's healthy or not. Now, the Padres could say, well, you're going to be hurt. We'll only offer you $5 million. But if they do that, then Jason Adam's agent goes, well, we'll go for $7.5 million. And they'll likely win because, you know, it'll be the argument will be based on what have you done for me so far, not what you expect me to do this year. So the Padres can't lowball on these estimates, or they will just lose if they ever went to a salary arbitration hearing. So the idea, if you ever actually do exchange those numbers, if you're a team, you have to be high enough where you think, okay, I could actually win this arbitration hearing, because if I make it too low, the player may go kind of extra high and still win. So you have to be careful. Usually the numbers are around $1 million apart when they do these exchanges for play. You know, you could see like the Padres would go 6.4 and Adam would go 7.2. And, you know, you could still have the next month then to come to an agreement somewhere likely between those numbers. But AJ Preller in general doesn't even like to get past this date. He's rarely done it. It was a surprise last year when Michael King hadn't signed at that point. But he was kind of a weird case in that, you know, he had been converted from a reliever to a starter. So his numbers as a starter, other than the 1 year, he didn't have a whole lot of track record. He had just had some time in a Yankees bullpen. So it was like, well, you don't pay him that much, but he was so good as a starter, it made it a little more confusing. Here are the other projections for the guys that are still unsigned but have been offered contracts in arbitration. Gavin Sheets, $4.3 million. Adrian Morejon, $3.6 million. J.P. Sears, $3.5 million. Mason Miller, $3.4 million. And Freddie Fermin, $1.8 million. And again, it's not who you think is going to be the best guy, who's not the most important. It's a function of how much service time they have, the stats they've put together, and eventually just what the team believes they're worth and what their agent believes they're worth, and they'll come to a number somewhere around there.
But you mentioned the interesting case of Michael King from last year because he was a converted reliever to starter in terms of what he had accomplished. Couldn't you say the same thing about Freddie Fermin? He was a backup catcher with the Royals behind Salvador Perez, and he comes here, and now he's the starter.
Yes, but his number is only 1.8 because he hasn't had that much time as a starter, so he doesn't have as much leverage as a guy, you know, who's already been in the league for a while. Like J.P. Sears, you go, why would J.P. Sears make as much or more than Mason Miller or Adrian Morejon or Freddie Fermin? Well, he's been pitching for a while. He has more service time. He has more innings logged with the A's before he came in the trade. So he's simply going to get more in arbitration. That's just how the system is set up and how it's designed to work. But all of those guys will eventually get at least one-year contracts with the San Diego Padres. The question is, does it happen today? Does it happen within the next month after the numbers are exchanged? Or will, for the first time in his general managerial tenure, A.J. Preller actually have to go to an arbitration hearing? Because that's a lot of guys on the list. More than usual. I think he gets them all done.
Agreed.
At some point. A.J. is, you know, is not doesn't seem to be the guy who's going to upset the apple cart for $100,000. Like, if it's that close, feels like he wants to just get his guy in, make sure he's happy. He doesn't, because arbitration hearings have been known to create hard feelings between players and their teams. We saw that with
Trevor Bauer and with Josh Hader.
Yeah, with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Corbin Burns.
Yep, have done it a couple of times where they've gone into that hearing and they basically drag out, yeah, we like him, but he didn't do this well, and his numbers here stink, and this isn't that good, and that's why you should only pay him X amount rather than Y amount. And, you know, sometimes guys will actually be in their own hearings with their agent. I wouldn't do it. I mean, if I had an arbitration
hearing.
That's
why you have an agent, by the way.
That's why I'd have the agent. I go, you tell me how it goes at the end. But I don't want to sit there and listen to my assistant GM go through all the reasons why they don't think I'm worth what I think I'm worth. So I wouldn't go in there. But a lot of guys do take part in those hearings, and some of them come out going, that's what you think of me? That's your opinion of what my value I bring? So, you know, you're better off not going through the process if you can avoid it.
Especially in the case of Josh Hader, where how he was used and the stats he accumulated were dictated by the team in terms of, we're not going to have you in the ninth inning, have you accumulating saves.
Right.
We're going to use you all over the place. And then we're going to tell you, well, you didn't get enough saves.
And, you know, think about Mason Miller, who, you know, obviously he's arguably the best
reliever
situation.
In the game.
But is he the Padres' closer this year? You could make the case that he is more valuable coming in against, you know, the toughest batters in the seventh or eighth inning if you're facing the middle of the lineup rather than just getting those last three outs when you have a guy like Jeremiah Estrada or Adrian Morejon could get those last outs instead. But those save numbers do end up, you know, Mason Miller, this is his first of now, 4 years of arbitration because he's a super two. So those save numbers will factor in next year as well and the year after that into how much of a raise he's going to get year by year in arbitration. So if the Padres say, hey, we want to use you in the seventh and eighth inning, and he goes, great, whatever the team needs, I'll go out there. And he can go out and, you know, throw 104 and strike out everybody. But at the end of the year when he goes has three saves and they go to the arbitration hearing next year and go, well, he only had three saves, you'd like want to tear your hair out. You go, yes, because you said you needed me more in the eighth inning and I was more valuable there as opposed to just racking up meaningless saves in the ninth. But teams will do that.
But it's going to happen this year as well, like, because you mentioned he's early ARB eligible. Like, he went from closing with the A's to not closing
with the Padres. Yep, probably
cost
him some money. Probably, ultimately, will cost him some money. I don't think it'll be, like I said, because it's A.J. Preller, I don't think he's the one who's going to hammer him over the head. Well, you didn't have that many saves, Mason Miller. I mean, wouldn't you be incensed if you heard that from your team and go, yeah, I mean, you're great, but you didn't. What happened? Where were all the saves? Like, yeah, you didn't use me in the ninth inning. You put Robert Suarez in the ninth inning.
It's almost like you would want to create some sort of rules for when and how you were used after something like that happened.
I wonder, with the CBA negotiations obviously coming up, everyone's focused on things like the salary cap or, you know, luxury tax or however that's going to look, but arbitration rules are something that is also negotiated every time there's a new CBA. Do we even want to have arbitration anymore? Is there a better way to do that? This is what they came up with to help players who weren't eligible for free agency make some more money rather than just being told by the team, well, you're not a free agent, so we're going to pay you the minimum every single year. This is how they got around it with the arbitration system. Guys who start performing well start making more money even before they get to free agency. Will that look the same? It's been pretty much the same the last few deals. They added the super twos and in the last couple of CBA negotiations for players who really have good early seasons. They've added the bonus pools. That's a fairly new development. Guys who win like Rookie of the Year and there's bonus money at the end.
And incentives for teams to bring guys up early.
And incentive, and then they get money. You know, Jackson Merrill made some last year, I think. You know, depending on where you finish in the voting. Paul Skeens has made a ton of extra money in his first couple of years from that bonus pool for first and second year players that do really well. But those all have to be negotiated in the CBA. So we'll see what that looks like after they come out on the other side of whatever happens, you know, starting December when they go to these CBA negotiations again.
Satan's Blowfish is asking in the chat about the difference in value for Luis Arraez between what he made in his final year of arbitration versus the free agent market. And I think it's interesting, right? Like he made $14 million.
Yeah, I think he was right about 14. And which was based on, hey, batting championships, getting the raises. It was his last year of arbitration, which is the year you make the most.
Coming off of a batting
now,
title.
Even after a good 6 years in your last year of arbitration, most guys will then make more in free agency. Luis Arraez is a very rare case of someone who almost everybody expects to make less in free agency than he did in arbitration. So we'll see what happens. Again, you know, we heard a couple of those whispers, but no real smoke to that Luis Arraez fire. All right, let's check traffic. We'll come back, wrap things up here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All guests on Bennett Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Padres, of course, announced yesterday that season ticket memberships for 2026 are sold out. Congratulations. Adam, I don't think that's shocking news. I think some people were surprised, but that's 4 straight years, and there's still a wait list. They still have their on-deck wait list members who want season tickets, and there aren't enough of them to go around. So business is still booming for the San Diego Padres.
I was an economics major in college. I don't remember a lot from my studies there. I remember a little bit about supply and the demand is greater than the supply here.
And I think strategically, I don't know exactly how many tickets they open up to season tickets versus, because they obviously leave tickets for single game purchases as well. And they didn't sell it every game. What did they sell? 72 of the 81 home games last year, which is incredible. But if they sold more season tickets, could they sell every ticket at Petco Park as a season ticket if they wanted to?
It's an interesting strategy. The idea that you have people willing and ready to give you money for your product, and you're saying, nope, we're going to hold it
back. But season ticket members do get discounts on the overall pricing. So if you leave some of those single game tickets, generally those are more expensive, and the team will make more money on those single gamers than they do on the season tickets, which is why the Padres will tell you, hey, it's smart to get a season ticket package because you pay less, you get more perks and benefits, you know, overall discounts on merchandise and concessions throughout the season. And if you, you know, even if you don't get a full 81 game package, even if you do a half season, you can share it with other people where you get, hey, team up with people at work or, you know, neighbors in your neighborhood and go, hey, let's every third game, we'll just do one of those. So a lot of people do that system, and that's why season tickets are so popular and continue to be so.
Do you think there's a chance to sell out every game?
Yes.
All 81?
Yes. There was, I mean, why did they sell out so many games last year? I mean, they've been close, but they've been getting closer to 81 each year. 72
right.
was a record.
They keep going up.
What was different about last year than the other years, though? Why did fans buy so many tickets? I think there's a very simple explanation. Team got off to a very good start last year. 7-0, 14-3. I mean, that, you know, you make a lot of your decisions about buying tickets early in the season on how the team is doing. They're going to sell out those early games. Everyone's excited to have baseball back, you know. Spring is in the air. You miss it. You haven't been. You want to go and watch a game and eat some tri-tip nachos and get back to the ballpark. And then when you go and they win and they look fantastic, you make plans to go again. So I think last year's hot start inflated even more the total games that were sold out later in the season. And of course, you know you're in the playoff contention and probably going to the postseason. So there's the excitement that builds after the All-Star break, and you expect them to make some moves. So if they get off to a really hot start again, maybe. You know, they do a good job of strategically scheduling the bobbleheads and the other giveaways for the nights that maybe would be harder to sell out, like a Monday or Tuesday home game against the Marlins or someone. So they get
still selling out.
Or
close to it.
Or close to it. But, you know, they'll use those promotions effectively to sell out those games. You know, all the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games almost all season will be completely sold out. So, yeah, it's just a question of whether those last few, like the Wednesday getaway day game against the, I don't know, the Guardians when they come in, or I think they go to Cleveland.
Why do you hate the Guardians?
I don't hate the Guardians, but I'm thinking of an American League team that doesn't necessarily draw a lot of numbers in California. Twins coming in. Exactly. They will come in. They got one of those getaway early Wednesday games, and it's not a giveaway day. I don't know that they'll sell out every single game, but they will come darn close, and they will come close or possibly set another attendance record again at Petco Park.
But even when they don't sell out, it's just like it's an official sellout. The stadium is still packed.
It'll be packed. Every game will look packed.
It just might not be an official sellout.
And this is almost certainly the last year of Seidler ownership of the San Diego Padres. So they will get through their ownership with record numbers and with the franchise in the best shape it's really ever been in its history. And then we'll see what the new owner, whoever that is, comes in and what they do. And I would imagine if they continue to pour money into the roster, they bring exciting players, keep exciting players around, and show the desire to want to win a championship, the Padres will continue to sell out the vast majority of their games. If a new owner comes in and doesn't keep that excitement going, and they decide, hey, we want to, you know, rebuild or get, you know, shed a couple of big contracts, I would say that Padres fans will respond accordingly. But right now, there's no reason for Padres fans not to be excited about this team in this upcoming season, and that is shown in the season ticket numbers and the other sellout. The date's coming up. So on January 28th, that's the date when on-deck waitlist members and season ticket holders can buy single-game tickets. January 31st is the Padres Fan Fest at Petco Park. We will be broadcasting live. Paulie Woods and I will be out there at 10 o'clock, right, as you said? So that's the early window. You do need to claim your tickets online. They're free. And if you want to be there when we're there and find us, make sure you do the early session, because I can promise you on a Saturday that Woods and Paul are not sticking around for the afternoon session. They'll be there for the morning session. So if you want to be there, join us at 10 o'clock. And then on February 3rd, that's when the rest of the single-game tickets go on sale to the general public. So those are your next off-season dates in terms of ticket acquisition for the San Diego Padres this off-season. Any thoughts in our last minute on the Atlanta sports news of the day? Trey Young, four-time All-Star, traded by the Hawks to the Washington Wizards.
Ben, there's only one person in all of San Diego who cares about my thoughts on the Hawks trading Trae Young, and that person is sitting here in the studio with me. There's no way our audience cares about that.
I actually don't care about it either.
They're not even one.
I just asked to be polite because I know you like sports talk, and I mean, Trae Young is a really good player.
I was reading all about it last night, trust me, but I just that doesn't mean our audience cares.
No. Well, who are the Atlanta Falcons going to get as their new head coach? Now that John Harbaugh's probably going on to the Miami Dolphins.
I got my eye on Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach. I think there's a chance that if they lose in the first round to the Bears, he's not back. He used to be quarterback's coach for the Falcons. They're his former quarterback, Matt Ryan, is about to take over president of football operations. I would love Matt LaFleur.
Don't say I didn't let you do any Atlanta sports talk. That's it for us. I will join Pauly and Woods in Arizona. We will broadcast live from the Peoria Sports Complex tomorrow at 6 a.m. Until then, have a great rest of your Thursday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.